In BizTech today, an article is published on their platform, and this is the headline: people had more chance of finding a job during the Great Depression than South Africans do in 2026. That is one hell of a statement, and we're going to interrogate that. Davi Ruit, thank you for being with me on Chai FM.
My pleasure, and good afternoon to you.
So, Davi, if you look at the latest unemployment numbers, do you agree with that comparison being made, that South Africans in 2026 have worse odds of finding work than Americans or Brits did during the Great Depression?
Well, technically, I think the statement is correct. The unemployment levels in South Africa at the moment, about 35% or so, just below that. And the U.S., during the Great Depression, it went up to 25%. So it was significantly lower, and that was the Great Depression that we're talking about. But I think there are a number of differences that are very important here. One is that before the Great Depression, 2 years or so before the Great Depression, the unemployment rate in the United States was only 3%.
Wow.
So the movement from 3% to 25%, that is significant. I mean, that is a massive jump. So that is one big difference. In the case of South Africa, we've always had very high levels of unemployment, and it went up from about 15-16% 30 years ago to the current just over 30% in South Africa. So that is roughly a doubling of the unemployment rate in South Africa, where in the case of the U.S., that was much more. Increase in the level, the absolute level of unemployment. So that's a very important difference. Another very important difference is that the nature of the South African economy and the nature of the U.S. economy is completely different. The people typically during the Great Depression, that was the time of the great industrialization of the United States economy. And people worked in factories, and there's this image of the typical U.S. family where the father goes to work in a factory and the mother is a housewife, typically with two kids at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a typical U.S. family, kind of, during the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. That's not we South Africa. South Africa, in fact, we've had a significant industrial base, but that it pretty much deteriorated and pretty much, well, disappeared in South Africa. Today, manufacturing is a significantly smaller part of the South African economy. And if you look at the unemployment levels of South Africa, and I did say close to about 35%, but we do not find people dying of hunger. We do find people dying of hunger, just by the way, but one would have expected much higher levels of distress in South Africa and South African society than that what we are currently experiencing. And that tells me that the informal sector is probably much, much bigger in South Africa than what we think, and that people somehow make a plan and somehow sort of get some kind of income. And the previous CEO of Capitec, Gary Fourie, made that point. He said that if he looks at the account holders in his bank, Capitec, and the amount of money that they get typically from the grants from the state, then you also can see that people get an income from somewhere else. So I think the unemployment levels in South Africa, the actual unemployment levels is actually much, much lower. I think technically it is correctly calculated, but South African economy is different from the U.S. economy during the Great Depression then. But if you just simply look at the levels of unemployment, South African unemployment rate currently is indeed much, much higher.
Understand
than
what you're saying, and that makes a whole lot of sense to me. What I'm struggling to understand is like why you clever guys who live and breathe this stuff haven't done a better job of kind of understanding the informal sector and including it in GDP numbers, because clearly to not include it is a mistake.
Well, you know, economists don't even agree what should be part of the economy. And I can give you many examples. So what should be included in GDP calculations? And what is actually, what constitutes the informal economy as well? The rule of thumb is that the informal economy in South Africa is roughly about 10% of the economy. I disagree with that. I think it is probably in the region of about 20% or even higher of the actual South African economy. But the problem is that you have institutions like the World Bank and International Monetary Fund, and they have official definitions for certain things. And they apply these definitions to all countries in the world, but all countries are not the same. They're all different. Like I just tried to explain the difference between the South African economy and the U.S. economy. But so technically we calculate unemployment correctly, and technically we calculate the GDP numbers correctly, but South Africa is not the United States. It's different. So let me give you one example. A lot of people rent out back back rooms in squatter camps or informal settlements. They rented out for 50 rand to 100 rand a month, for example. Now, that is a, if you add them all together, we're talking about really big numbers here. And that's not included in the GDP numbers, for instance. But that is not typically of an economy where people rent out rooms in a in an informal settlement. I mean, nobody thinks about that. The clever economists at the International Monetary Fund, they've never even heard of this. I guess economies are different. Countries are different.
And cultures are different. You know, I'm thinking about, we often refer to black tax. I mean, I understand that on one level that could be seen as a real hardship, but on the other hand, it creates a hell of a safety net in a society that doesn't really have one. I'm thinking about the concept of like Ubuntu, where you take care of those, your humanity is reflected in the humanity of others. So you don't just take your parents and throw them to an old age home, you take care of them. There is a almost an informal sector safety net that seems to have been created by the culture here in this country that would be entirely and totally different from whatever it was that was existing in the United States.
We're talking about cultural differences. Let me give you another example of a cultural difference.
Yeah.
If you get somebody to wash your dishes in your house, then that is part of GDP. That is value added to GDP. If somebody comes to your house, work for you in your house, and wash your dishes. But the moment you marry her, that's excluded from GDP calculations, for example. So I can give you some very, very funny examples of these sort of things. But that is an example of how cultural differences actually impact on the calculation of GDP.
Looking forward, I mean, if you kind of accept that we've got a youth unemployment rate of 45.8%, that seems insanely high, but that's the figure that I have in front of me. I'm just wondering what that does psychologically to the youth in terms of going forward and seeing themselves as part of a society, invested in a society with something to lose. What's your take on that enormous youth unemployment statistic?
And again, we can ask questions on whether that is actually the number is correctly calculated and so on. But you know what is important about economic statistics? If you look at economic, and there's a long list of this, and I look at all these numbers, the CPI numbers and PPI and GDP, and they all got these abbreviations. These numbers are important, but we have to remember that most of these numbers are estimates. Most of these figures are estimates. They are estimates about unemployment. It's estimates about the inflation rate. There are a few actual hard economic data numbers, like, for example, exchange rates. And exchange rate is an actual number. You can see what the rand is trading at against the US dollar. Or you can actually see what interest rate. Those are actual numbers. But for the rest, those are all estimates. So when you look at economic statistics, it is quite often it's much better to look at the change in that specific figure than to look at the level of that figure. And I think unemployment is a good example of that. So we've always had high levels of unemployment, and it has gone up. To whether it's 35% or 45% doesn't matter. It has gone up. And I think that's the bad number, the fact that it's gone up. Mm. And unemployment amongst the youth has gone up more than amongst normal middle-aged workers, for instance. And that is not a good thing, because if you don't get a job, then the chances of you getting a good job is really significantly diminished. The best chance of getting a good job is getting a job to start off with. So the sooner you get a job, the better for you. So I'm afraid, and it's not only about unemployment amongst the youth specifically, we can measure some other things as well, like, for example, the quality of skills development in South Africa. Now, there we are messing up big time. South Africa's skills development, the quality of education in South Africa is very bad, despite huge amounts of money that we spend on education. So maybe that is where we need to start, and that is to make sure that we've got a properly trained workforce that are trained for a modern economy, because we just don't do that. But yes, I am very much concerned about the lack of economic growth, which eventually lead to things like our levels of unemployment and so on, and we all should be.
Tavi Root, as always, thank you so much for your participation here on the Home Run on Chai FM. Appreciate your input.